This is KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
You're listening to the Carol Cox Show on 1080 AM K108.
Good morning and welcome back to the Carol Cox Show.
Don't you say no.
I want to apologize and also thank all of you. The nearly 5,000 of you went and downloaded last week's show, and some of you had the opportunity to actually listen to it live. We did have some repair work going on the antenna and what have you. But I do appreciate all of you being so kind and dedicated to listening. But we had nearly some 4,600 downloads on the podcast and still growing. So, and the subject that I guess is attracting everybody, and I'm aware somewhat. We talked with Jenny Lee last week and Janet Mandrell regarding the DLNR. Now, many of you have heard me talk about the DLNR. And we've talked about the DLNR and some of the issues, the training, lack thereof, and all of that. One of the things, though, of what you don't know is while we're here talking at the show, there has been some activities on the part of Laura Thielen, the chairman or chairperson of the DLNR, let's be politically correct, just carving away at the rights of the fishermen, concerns of officer behavior that is borderline civil rights or even going beyond some of the allegations of civil rights violation, approaching people or fishermen, hunters in the field with drawn guns and all. And though I heard a little bit about it, it was washed. But the reality is, while I wasn't there to see if, in fact, drawn guns were and they're disturbing, what I do know is that they're closing a lot of the areas, and they're doing it through the administrative process. Laura Thielen went before the legislative body here, the state capitol, and asked for money, and she didn't get it. They told her, though, but go out and find a way to get it. And here's how they're getting it. They're carving up on the rights of the people here in Hawaii to fish, have access to fishing. They're harassing them. And how is it being done? Simply, the complaints have been there. They're falling on deaf ears. And they're getting their assistance through the nonprofit organizations. And some of you might know the Pew Foundation. There's grants going into it. And a lot of this activity, and she's being supported by Pew and the Conservation Council of Hawaii and all of those, and they're giving her the nod to go ahead on this, because surely they should place the fishermen, hunters' interest at hand too. So we're going to talk about this extensively, and don't forget the rally. And I'm going to introduce Jeannie Lee and Janet Mandrell. Janet, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And let's not hold back. We're also produced a video. We did some interviews, and it'll appear on Tina Quizon's Pathways to Paradise in the coming week and a half or so on Channel 49 Olelo. If it changes, we'll correct it, and maybe later on I'll have some more specific information. But we were here last week. Mm-hmm. We have a rally. Can you up front tell us what and when this rally is, Jeannie?
Okay. Tomorrow, Monday, December 28th, from 4 to 6 p.m. at the state capitol, fishermen's boaters, local residents, and visitors are joining together to protest against the recreational renaissance plan B proposed by the DLNR. And we are protesting for fairness because, well, we will talk in detail about what happened, but basically DLNR passed a bunch of rules by deceiving the public and ignore public inputs. So we want to protest for fairness, we want fishing access, and we also want to say that it's the worst time of all time to raise everybody's fee, including outrageously raising mooring fee for the boaters and raising fees for the visitors. So that's what the rally is all about.
I see. So boaters are being impacted as well. Or what specifically, if you would? Quickly.
Well, what has happened is the Division of Boating and Ocean Recreation, also known as DOBOR, is supposed to determine how much it costs to run each individual place and create a plan and get the community to approve the plan and then move forward on executing the maintenance and all that other stuff. They haven't done that. And they've been criticized a lot in the past for not having a maintenance schedule that they adhere to, and they tend to just cave to political pressure or you know, shoot from the hip. Some businessman comes along and has a great idea, and you know, they listen to the siren song of the businessman about how much money they can bring in. So they need to make a plan and stick to it. That's the problem. They've got tons of plans, but if they don't, if the individuals or the administration doesn't like the plans that the community has approved, they tend to ignore it.
When you say they tend, are they ignoring it?
Oh, yeah.
When they tend to do something, we don't know what they're doing. Right now, what are they doing that's impacting the boaters? I mean, what specific actions so the public would know?
Well, they just passed these administrative rules, one package, and there's two or three others on the way through the system or through the process. But they claimed they were going to be fair to all the boaters and raise everybody's fee equally.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not how it turned out at all.
Okay.
Different subgroups got penalized or burdened more with their fee increases, and others not at all.
Mm-hmm.
So it really wasn't fair. So they say one thing and do it different.
Okay. Well, Jeannie, we also have another guest. He was here last week. Introduce yourself there, my friend.
Okay. My name is Hong Ji Guo. I went to the public hearing, the rainbow meeting, mainly to testify kapapa and fishing access. But my impression is like everybody there in the public hearing is against DLNR, but they won't listen and just don't care about fishermen, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I my fear is like they have something they want to do and they don't care about what people want to say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like Janet say, they're just ignoring.
Yeah.
The rights, and it's just there's a steamroller here, folks. What's going on? You have officers that are not trained. You have officers that are working double. You have officers that are. There is an actual federal lawsuit against the DLNR naming Thielen and Officer Henry Heine. I don't have the specifics or that copy with me, but there are some serious things going on here, and regardless of what the fishermen are saying, apparently, Laura Thielen is hell-bent on getting what she and these nonprofits, the so-called conservation groups, they've gone beyond that. And by the way, if you want to participate and have a question or a comment, call in 524-1080, the Carol Cox Show. You can also pick this up at carolcox.com, a podcast. But this is your chance to join in and share. And also, don't forget the rally tomorrow at 4 o'clock at the state capitol. Just letting the government know. And while speaking of the government, here's the problem. While we say it's Laura Thielen, right, it's also your state legislators. So I don't want anybody to go away and go, well, you're picking on the Republican. No, what I'm saying to you is that Laura Thielen has gotten the go-ahead from your state legislators, who are a great many of them, the majority are Democrats. So let's talk Republican, Democrat, liberal, whatever you are, it's the fishermen who are being impacted in a concerted effort on the part of Thielen, the legislators. They've done nothing. Absolutely, it's about time to stop it, and let's do it. So Janet, let us know.
Okay, the root of the problem is that DLNR presented the recreational renaissance plan to the legislature asking for $240 million. For improving the service, and this plan got rejected.
That was known as Plan A.
Yeah, and then the legislature legislature asked the DLNR to go find the money by itself. Then that's the root of the problems, because then they now propose recreational renaissance Plan B, and they can go away. They don't need the approval from the legislature. They just need approval from the land board. Part of it that is happening right now is that land board just passed administrative rule changes on December 11th, and the impact of the despite overwhelming opposition, I actually have actual data about how many people testify against the plan in written and during the public hearings versus those who are supportive of the plan. It's 243 versus 38. So it's overwhelming opposition. And even though the public gives them the input, they pass the rule anyway. And the rule has dramatic impact on fishermen. First of all, they painted fishermen as the troublemaker for conservation. In order to legalize kayak user business, to collect kayak user fees, for allowing the visitor visiting wildlife sanctuary. So they have the business hidden agenda to legalize kayak business. Then on the surface, they say it's all for the conservation, and they sacrifice fishermen. So we lose Kapapa Island fishing assets. There's no more overnight fishing and camping on Kapapa anymore. And the pattern is similar to Kaina Point. Then the other impact is boater. They increase the mooring fee so much that causes huge financial burden on the boaters. And then those people rely on the ocean recreational tourism industry, the charter boat people. They don't have tourists to begin with nowadays because of the economic recession. Now they have to pay so much fee. It's a 90% increase in the mooring fee.
Mm-hmm.
Then now the other thing is the visitor, because they are going to charge parking fee at a state park, including visitors going to Big Beach on Maui. They go to the beach every day. They have to pay parking. They go to Pali Lookout, Makapu Lighthouse Trail. They stay there for 2 minutes looking at the scene. They have to pay for the parking. So visitors testify saying that they are not coming back. Hawaii is not a welcoming place for them.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the impact is statewide, and you know, the negative impact is on everybody.
Yeah, we have a caller online, Sandra Park. Good morning, Sandra.
Hi, good morning.
Aloha. You want to share some of your story or a little bit of information as to what you're observing, your efforts to do what Janet and Jeannie has been doing to try and get DLNR to listen?
There is no way DLNR listens.
Mm-hmm.
We have been trying. A bunch of fishermen, myself and my husband, have been trying from 07. We went to the legislators, we went to the senators, we went as far as Jonah, Deputy Chief of Staff for Dukayona, mm-hmm. and we have written many letters to Laura Thielen, and many letters to Linda Lingo, and has basically been put behind a wall,
mm-hmm.
and that wall is not coming down.
Mm-hmm.
It's very sad because all we simply want to do is to be able to fish and continue to fish in the custom that we have been brought up with,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
taking our children to the beach, allowing us to fish overnight, to be able to use a blanket and a pillow and a cooler and a backpack. All of these things come on under the camping paraphernalia rule.
So that the listeners can understand this, I don't think they're getting the full picture. What you're saying is that DLNR has invoked rules through the administrative process to prevent you, fishermen, from coming out and camping along fishing. While fishing, you sit out there. You can't bring a blanket. You can't bring a tarp. Can't bring an ice chest. So tell the public, you know, and I want them to understand how silly this entire process has become and how depriving it is of the citizens of the state and their rights to enjoy the outdoors.
Well, it's under the camping paraphernalia rule. It's actually, it's a prevention of the homeless people from being on the beach or living on the beach. DLNR cannot distinguish between fishermen and homeless. So they created this rule, administrative rule, that these items such as blankets and pillows and coolers and army cots and even simply a backpack is considered camping paraphernalia. If you have this in your possession from sundown to sunup, you will get cited. You will get a citation by DLNR. That you cannot have these things.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a simple backpack,
mm-hmm.
or even a cooler. We fish, and we want to keep our fish fresh, but you're not allowed to even have a cooler. That's silly. You can't even have a umbrella for shelter or a blanket to keep you warm at night. You know, we have been doing this for the last, me and my husband have been doing this for the last 30 years. And as a family, I can no longer go with him because I need my blanket to
mm-hmm.
keep warm.
Mm-hmm.
There is only so many jackets you can wear, you know, and so many socks you can wear, you know, and I cannot be sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
I don't fish. My husband fish. My kids fish. But if I fall asleep, I'll get the citation.
Mm-hmm.
That is just silly.
Sounds
just
like
silly,
a,
silly.
Sounds like Gestapo measures or that the DLNR is employing. Also with the State Parks Division, I guess, Dan Quinn is condoning this and going ahead and pushing it.
Yes, yes. And they don't want to change anything. And yet, Laura Thielen herself said 2 years ago at Camp Ergman, we had a neighborhood board meeting, which turned into, she somehow twisted it into her own meeting as far as getting the public to hear about her wilderness park.
Mm-hmm.
you know, her wilderness camping in Kaena Point. And it was a neighborhood board meeting, and we were promised that we would be heard as far as the fishing and the hunters, because we were being harassed every which way from the DLNR officers. And there was many, many citations given out prior to this meeting and after this Camp Ergman meeting, you know? And there was a lot of people who paid for their tickets and never got it cleared, you know? We paid for our tickets, and then 6 months later found out that it was not a just a regular ticket. It was a moving violation ticket. So what we did was we had to go and reappear in court, and my husband had to bring pictures and tell the judge exactly where he was parking. Dealing our officers put on the ticket that my husband was driving on the beach, when in fact my husband's car was parked on a designated road, and he was whipping out on the reef. The DLNR officer approached my husband and asked him if this was his car. So they know as well that my husband was not driving on the beach. There is a difference between driving on the beach and having your car parked on a designated road. You know, and they are the very ones who use that road to give my husband his citation.
So you don't think it's fair, but one of the things I want you to tell us, you said you contacted Duke Ionas, and,
yes.
And did he do anything for you?
Yes.
Did he do anything for you to resolve this, or did it get better?
No.
Okay.
And he and his chief of staff, Jonah, had promised at that meeting. We had maybe 10 fishermen at that meeting. And he promised he would give us an answer. He would get to the bottom of this, and he would give us an answer. And we need to say that Office of Hawaiian Affairs was there that day. And up until that point, I had felt that everybody was fair, you know, even as far as anybody in that state capitol. But I have learned in this process for the last 2 years, since DLNR has harassed myself and many, many fishermen, that nobody is listening in that building. And I do mean nobody.
So how about Clayton Hia, Senator Clayton Hia? Has he been approached? Did he do anything for you?
I spoke to Clayton Hia, and we... myself and fishermen, as well as my husband, has gone to Senate hearings, and personally I have approached Clayton Hia, and I hate to say this, Carl, but you know what, it's one of those pass the buck kind of approach that they use. Okay, they listen to us, and we're able to do testimony at the hearings and everything. But and then they make these bills. We wanted camping overnight. Fishing overnight. That's what the fishermen wanted. There's a difference between camping and fishing overnight. But somehow the bill had got twisted. When it goes to one committee and another committee, and through the legislators and the senators as well, the bill gets totally twisted to something that we didn't want. You know, it was working against us.
And so now today we have areas being shut off consistent with what you guys were fighting for.
Yes.
Let me, because we don't have a whole lot of time, and I thank you for calling, but what would you like to say to the fishermen out there? Should they be excited, be motivated, or should they just continue to go along and get along? What would you have of encouragement to them? And about this this protest tomorrow, can you...
Well, I would like all the fishermen to stand up and have a voice. It's about time they get off their okoles and make a difference, because if we don't do anything now, there will be nothing, no fishing allowed in this great state of Hawaii for our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren. We need to stand up now and scream, because apparently nobody's listening.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there is only so much things that a few of us can do. We need all the fishermen to unite and stand up and be there at the state capitol tomorrow. Be there every day, hounding your representatives and your senators, you know, and pounding on Laura Thielen's door. Listen to us. Open your ears and listen. You know, we can't stand for this already. We shouldn't stand for this.
Right.
You know, part of our culture is dying, whether you're Japanese, Chinese, Filipino, Korean. We all fish.
Mm-hmm.
Hawaiians. It's not a
as any individual group.
Yes, it's not any individual group, because there's fishermen of all.
Right.
All nationalities, you know?
Mm-hmm.
We just need to unite and stand up and scream.
Right.
You know, because being nice nowadays, you don't get nowhere. Let me tell you, we have been doing this for well over 3 years. And there's been fishermen who's been doing this for the last 20 years.
And then we get Laura Thielen and a legislative body who just gives her permission to run rampant.
You know, I need to say, Carol, mm-hmm. Carol, I'm not sure if people are aware, but Laura Thielen is the head of DLNR.
Mm-hmm.
She's the chairperson for the head of DLNR. She's also the chairperson for the land board. So is that not a conflict of interest? Like, whatever she says goes on whether we complain to DLNR, it still has to get okayed by the land board.
Right. Well, it's constitutionally, they've set it up that way. Our state leaders, you know, clearly, when it comes to ethics, it escapes 90% of the legislators here. They've demonstrated that in their own personal behavior and conflicts of interest with money and us. So that's just the way it's set up. But it goes back to the basic human ethics. Laura Thielen is trampling on the rights and ignoring the rights while moving ahead, courting the nonprofit organizations out there, the big money guys, to just move the little guy out of the way. And that's just not the purpose of the Department of Land and Natural Resources. But anyway, I got the others here, and I appreciate you calling. And we do have the video. It'll be completed this afternoon, and I'll have portion of it up on carolcox.com, and it will be shown on Pathways of Paradise. And thank you for calling.
Thank you very much for
Aloha.
Listening.
All right. Janet, what are you, your experience real quick about the legislators? Have you folks, the boat has gone to the legislators?
Oh,
what
yes.
Results did you get?
Oh, yes. We have gone to the legislature every year for, my goodness, at least 10 years regularly.
Mm-hmm.
And have been very active. What happens is frequently a lot of Alawai boaters show up at the legislature because, A, it's the biggest harbor next to, and it's the one that's closest to the legislature. And I've heard through the grapevine that they are tired of seeing us. And there's also a misperception in the public, and it's media-driven, and, you know, that Alawai boaters are wealthy and you know, not a sympathetic group of people. A lot of people don't realize, it is the largest marina next to the largest city to serve the residents of Hawaii there. People who live in apartments and don't have driveways,
mm-hmm.
Can't have boats. And so that's what that harbor is for. It's not for the tourists, in spite of it being located at the end of Waikiki. But
because the Alawai boater is the one who more often than not has the opportunity to go to the legislature. I mean, people don't have $200 to do round trip to go sit in a legislative hearing coming in from neighbor islands. That's just not realistic. And then, of course, the business people who operate charter operations or snorkel or dive operations out of Heiakea or Waianae, they're trying to make a buck. It's very difficult to it's difficult to do your civic duty by taking out time out of your work day or taking a vacation day from your job to go sit for hours waiting for a bill to come up. And you really don't feel that they the legislators read the testimony that's sent in. I mean, you don't hear them comment on it about the points that have been brought up. They're not brought up in discussion. So, you know, you really do feel like it's useless to participate. And that's what people have learned over the years. I have noticed that.
But speaking specifically to the DLNR, their actions have taken, that they have taken, is impacting the boaters?
Oh, most certainly, right. Yeah.
And so the boaters need to do something. What do you suggest the boaters do? I mean, they've gone and whined and begged and been polite. What are you, your organizations, and your, what are you guys, your next step to get attention and to try to change
that? Well, the rally is for tomorrow. I would like to see the land board reconsider its decision. It's done it in the past. It can rescind a decision that it has made. And because the land board has volunteer citizens that sit in representing each of the islands. I think all boaters should contact their land board representative and their legislative representative. This year is very important in the fact that it's going to be an election year, and all of the representatives are going to be are up for re-election, and some senators. And so they're quite sensitive to what the constituent has to say.
Right. Well, Janet, Jeannie, what are you got some points that you want to share real quick?
Well, I want to highlight some of the rulemaking process that we are arguing about. And the part of the reason for the rally is that I personally have already sent quite a few letters directly to the senators and House members. And, I have two senators reply my email saying that keep sending, we are listening, but I got no other reply from the senators. And my impression is that one person researching the issue, trying to understand and reporting the issue to the senators and House members is not sufficient, because I cannot represent the fishing community. That's why we need a rally for the fishing community and the other ocean recreational users to tell them what the rule changes have impact them. The other thing is that, like I said, DLNR proposed the rule changes. And during the process, there are overwhelming public opposition. People spend the time to attend the public hearings, and they write the testimonies. All of those are ignored. And they do not address anything other than, for example, in terms of wildlife sanctuary. During the public hearing, people say, you got to set a limit of visitors going to the wildlife sanctuary because it would cause a huge impact on the wildlife sanctuary. What actually happened is, after kayak company's request, DLNR changed the rule into increasing the visitor from 100 to 200 people. That's the way of them. And they say they address the public input. Actually, they totally ignore it. In some metal, people say, we don't want entry fee. You know, in public hearing, they say, we don't want entry fees. Then DLNR addresses saying that, people on the mainland are used to the entry fee, so we are going to keep it anyway. So that's the way, and Lambert passed the law. Pass the rule without even, I'm not quite sure if they really read the testimonies, because this is a democratic country. This is just the bottom line. In a democratic country, they follow the procedure. They ask for public input. We give them the input. They ignore it anyway. They pass the rule anyway.
Right. Well, you know, share with the listeners out there, I spoke with Representative Lila Berg last year, asking her to do something to address this, and she assured me, oh, I'm going to take an action and look into the DLNR's actions. We've gotten a lot of complaints and all. And I finally had the occasion to talk to her later, preparing to put something together. And it was shameful. Her response was absolutely shameful. It was, well, I'm going to do something, but I don't know what. But if you could get all the nonprofit organizations together, see, they're not even listening, but they're agreeing. I'm telling her the fishermen and the hunters and the hikers are having problems, and she says she will fix it. And how will she fix it? Call the nonprofits. Well, most fishermen don't belong to nonprofit organizations. Why not have a hearing to get it on record and then ask to have Laura Thielen shipped out, shape up a ship out? You know, but none of our legislators, and I don't know if they're asleep or just waiting for the big bang to occur again, because something's wrong. The number of fishermen that I've spoken to, it's disheartening to know that they've gone through where I used to think, well, the fishermen don't get involved, but I'm learning there's a list. Hundreds of fishermen have contacted. They've submitted thousands of names and petitions.
And boaters, too.
Yeah, and then they just end up dumping it in the trash, and Laura Thielen is told, well, we can't give you any money for your renaissance effort, but Laura, what you can do, go out there and beat up on the public. Go out there and hire officers that are not trained. In fact, we still don't have, show you the importance, our legislators are slipping on us. We don't have a leader at the DLNR and the law enforcement. She's held that position open for a friend of hers who's in the active duty now, Coast Guard.
You're saying the active administrator of the Division of Conservation, the DOCARE
He's
officer?
Acting.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you see, and that's the person who will, that's set the policy and make sure it's consistent, right? But we don't even have those basic things in place, and the legislators just sit by there. But when they want something, when they wanted the sandbar, when
Clayton,
he wanted to take away the sandbar. My God, you would think he was going to become king in the next week with these efforts. But the legislators are failing, whether you're Democrat or Republican. There is absolutely no way in a state where it's water, surrounded by water, and a lot of the recreation is water-based,
mm-hmm.
and you're being taxed till you're drunk. Something's wrong.
Well, you only have two choices. You're either going to use a fee structure or you're going to use taxes. But when you get hit on both counts, you know, I mean, one of the things that the legislators like is fees being used rather than, especially this coming year, mm-hmm. rather than to say, well, the answer to our problem is to raise taxes.
Right.
Okay, because, you know, I mean, a reality check is it takes money to pay the people to go out and take care and maintain and clean the bathrooms and trim the trails and all that.
Mm-hmm.
That takes money.
Yeah.
One of the things that I have been very disappointed is that they have not, DNLR, specifically within DOCARE, has not applied for the federal funds in the different programs to improve, maintain, or revitalize the different boating facilities, recreational facilities, launch ramps. Most people don't realize that even a couple of beaches are considered boating facilities, and they try to they seem to always be looking for money in all the wrong places. Let's put it like that. They don't use the resources that are available to governments. And the stimulus money. I don't understand why they haven't gone after the stimulus money through the various federal programs to bring it into Hawaii. I know they're doing it in the Department of Transportation, Harbors Division, and Highways Division,
But to my knowledge, no one is bringing in, made any applications for stimulus money for the infrastructure for wherever DNLR might be able to use it. So anyway, it's coming down to whose wallet is it coming out of?
Yeah. Jeannie?
One of the problems I see is that if somebody proposes a plan to raise the taxes, you know, they have to go through a legislature. Now, DLR proposed a whole bunch of rules that increase the fee dramatically. For example, my understanding for the mooring fee is that in the past, somebody put an anchor in the ocean, they probably pay $40 per month for the temporary mooring fee. Now, to do the same, they have to pay about like $960 per month for to put the anchor in the ocean. And the thing is, the enforcement officers go to your boat to ask for cash from the people. It's like pirates invading your boat and asking for cash. Mm-hmm. So to have that kind of increase, you know, they don't need to go to the legislature. They just need land board's approval. And if land board has already have already predetermined the outcome that they are going to support the recreational renaissance plan B, then whatever DLR proposed, whatever plan they propose, land board is going to pass. And then there's no reliable third party is holding DLR accountable. If the legislature, the senators, house members, even Governor Linda Lingle are unaware of the situation and they are not stepping in, then the huge impact according to the rule changes of the DLR on the general public, you have to see that this is a statewide impact that is impacting Hawaii economy in general and impacting Hawaii tourism, is trampling fishing tradition, is taking away, talking about fishing, it's not only a significant recreational activity on the island, it's your family life, it's the local culture, it's the food to bring to the table. Somebody, and with DLR's hidden agenda to commercialize the land, as if they're thinking they are not only the manager of the land, they behave as if they are the owner of the land, they are the only one decide how to use the land. And fishermen, I'm sorry, you have, you know, we need to implement a camping system, we need funding, and so sorry, you know, they don't say upfront that they are sacrificing the fishermen, they are trampling the fishing tradition, they are trampling the local culture, they don't say that, they just want to get money, that's their hidden agenda.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, yeah.
So tomorrow, here's where people can make their stand and make their statement. Tomorrow at 4 to 6 in front of the state capitol, there is a protest schedule, and you're welcome. And it's a legal protest. You've gotten a permit for it. But one of the things I want to make sure that people understand out there, while it is always the economy and all of those things and agencies managing natural resources, they have to strike a balance. First of all, we must protect the resources, the birds and all of that, but it has to be a balance. You can't invoke laws where you tax the people at the parking lot, then you close it off because you don't have enough officers, then you're concerned that the homeless may be coming and camping in, so therefore you make everyone suffer. That speaks of the state's inability to see and understand management, because if that was the case, if you got sick, we would just have one medicine, one pill for all ailments. And that is simply what we're seeing here, is that out at Kaina Point, for example, there's a shearwater. There's the albatross nesting. These are native birds. They are migratory birds. They're protected. And there's a need to protect them. But to take extreme measures to ban the fishermen because you don't know who the homeless are, And then in turn, the conflicting and the slap in the face is that they're still inviting hikers. So if you're taking extreme measures, Laura Thielen, you should strike a balance. And the DLNR has under their umbrella all of these things. So what they're doing is they're demonstrating that they cannot manage the resources as it is structured. They can't. So they get swayed by special interests. But anyway, Don, are you there? Good morning. Got a phone call?
How are you?
I'm fine. Coming down to the wire.
Oh, I'd just like to give you a comment on this. I went to that time they had Mokulia, and they were talking about shutting this down and shutting that down. And we had a talk with our friends, and we had this lady that looked like came from the mainland, and she was telling, wouldn't you like to see your grandkids sit here and watch the birds nest? And I turned around, I told the lady, you know, what's more important, a human being or a bird? I mean, if my grandkids, I'm going to teach them how to fish and go catch something. Maybe money's so tight nowadays that that's when where they could go down and pick up on fish and go home and feed their family if it came to that. And
right.
The way it's going now, it's going to come to that. They got to start taking a peek. As far as DLNR, if they're out there, they're supposed to be doing the job. Why aren't they at each harbor checking all these boats and all that?
They're working their second jobs and staying at home doing nothing. That's what they're doing.
Yeah, and that's what make us feel bad. Like, I fish here in Anakuli, and you get them driving past and looking at you like you're doing something wrong. And I'm like, go more down the road, but there's a bridge, and you got all not picking on these, you know, homeless people and stuff, but they got people that's living on the water line.
Right.
And they're not over there. They pass by. They don't even turn their head.
Yeah.
But my theory, when I told this other lady who works for a lot of feeling, I told her, you know what, I would rather have our people learn to fish so they can survive than my grandkids sit there and watch a bunch of birds.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's getting to the point where you guys got to take a peek here.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's actually, it's a funny thing, the birds and the people have coexisted already, so we don't need a magic Thielen to walk in and tell us, now we got to learn how to live with the birds. It's just asinine. I mean, they didn't have any problems giving that area to the Coast Guard and the military down there. What was the concern for the birds then? You know, DLNR drive by and see mounds and mounds of trash. You don't see any effort there. They don't even make a record or make a report of it. It sits there for months, as we've just demonstrated and done a story on it on TV. So
yeah.
The birds, the honu, all of that, to take and say the kids are more important, it's all part of this thing we call the Aina. And it's unfortunate. That's where the conversation tend to go, because we start talking, pitting animals against the local tradition, and that's not the case. What this is about is that you got people who have special interests, bring in their friends, set up business to screw the public. Period. It ain't got nothing to do with birds. Absolutely nothing. If their friends wanted to build a house tomorrow or build a vista view, you, the birds, and everything else will take back seat. That's the problem. Our legislators are sucking hind tit on this and letting private entity take over the interests of the public. Hanama Bay, you don't have that anymore. Everything has a price on it. And I can't wait till when I go to the mainland and they ask me, where is your pass to come and look at the Grand Canyon? You're from Hawaii. We need to charge you just to look. You follow? So this isn't about birds and local people not wanting to protect the birds. This is about the jailbird has gotten into management and ripping the public off. And then all we do. So tomorrow, if anybody got any theories, come down tomorrow and show them and send a message to your legislators. And Don, thank you for calling.
Thank you. You have a nice day.
Aloha. But anyway, real quickly, guys, we down to the last wire. And real quick, you got any?
Well, a lot of this comes down to one of the solutions that has been proposed in the past is to privatize everything. And as you were just mentioning, that's what they seem to want to do. I know they wanted to do it for the harbors.
And I'm like, no, don't give it to the business entity. Fix the government.
Mm-hmm. Jeannie?
One other thing I want to say is that I have already sensed some sort of depression among the fishing community. They are asking if we, how the rally is going to be effective. They are asking if we voice to the legislatures, to DONR, and they are not listening, we just, avoid, and if they close here, I go somewhere else. Right. If they close my spot, I go to my friend's spot.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very tired of sitting there complaining. And I can't say that I can guarantee the outcome will be successful, but I'm very, very pleased with myself, mm-hmm. that for my lifetime I'm doing one thing that I don't know the outcome, whether or not the outcome will be successful, but I need to do it anyway. I want to taking action would eliminate our depression, because right. we have to voice.
Yeah, you're right. And here's the thing, guys. If you don't come, it's going to be consistent with what's happening already. They won't hear you. And if you do come, they'll hear you and you'll send a message. But on January 2nd, 4:30 on Olelo at Channel 49, we have put together a video interviewing different fishermen, and that is on the Pathways to Paradise, January 2nd, 4:30, Channel 49. Tomorrow night, we'll be talking again, re-airing the carbon monoxide fish story on at 6:30 on Pathways of Paradise. But anyway, if you don't go down there, quit complaining, or at least write to legislators. But anyway, the Hawaii Fishing News has an article by Jeannie on this issue. Hurry out and get that. And also, we owe a great bit of debt to Hawaii Fishing News for raising these issues and keeping the public and the Public Boaters Association. Was that
the Mackay Society? I wanted to mention that Bill Mossman also has an article in the Fishing News.
Okay, well, go out and get it. That's Hawaii Fishing News. But anyway, thank you all for joining us, and see you tomorrow. And we'll be talking about this more. So, aloha.
And tune in again next time for the Carol Cox Show on K108.